This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, pack a bag for Italy.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, hang on. I have to figure out how to make this play through the speakerphone.
Are you in your fancy German car?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, Merlin, how are you?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I am so excited.
I am curious about your excitement.
It's just been a big week.
You threatened us on our super secret private channel.
I didn't threaten. I was a little worked up. I was a little, I'm just excited to arbitrarily yell at each other about our decisions that don't affect anyone else. Because it's just something that I like to do on the internet.
You do like that. You millenniums love to bring this kind of trouble on yourself. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
I got roofers.
I heard.
They're really chowing down today. There's a lot of repeated banging. They haven't used a leaf blower, but now they've brought a truck. And they got the orange tube. They seem nice. Did you listen to that program?
The program where you discussed your guys.
Yeah. I'm so. Do you listen to that regularly?
Yes.
Wow, that's so cool.
No. I like you. Listen, I feel like
I like you too, Alex. You millennials, you don't accept affection. You're suspicious of being loved. Admit it. You're suspicious. Listen to that noise you're making right now.
Yeah.
That's your heart. That's your heart breaking.
It's definitely not, you know, like a decade of, you know, bullying and or internalized misogyny. None of it.
I'm totally into the misogyny. You guys are the worst. But yeah. Is it my challenge this week?
It is. It is indeed. But this is
the show. I might make you guys listen to compliments for an hour.
I'm not gonna do any challenge this week.
Yeah, you are. You're really good at challenges, Max. You're a very successful entrepreneur and everyone likes you.
Okay.
You have great taste in music. You're a handsome man. I would change the glasses.
So I think it's clear that the Falcon car is not gonna work out for me.
You sound fine.
But I have a new car that I think I'm gonna get.
Oh,
okay. Please.
Can you guys look it up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, it's called a Twizy. TWIZY. This is my new car.
Is that the home camera that gives treats to your cat? Oh, it's a Twizy. Look at that.
No, but I could drive in this car with my cat. Look at it. So what is it? So it's like, okay. So this is my new vehicle. I'm a large man in a small vehicle. There's nothing humorous about this situation.
It's like if a Segway had intercourse with Ultron.
Yeah, it's like a smart car. But, you know, the Italians have looked at the smart car and they've gone, this is much too big for our streets. Much too big. And they've sort of bisected it lengthwise. It's a cut in half hot dog style. And then it's just half of a smart car with four wheels. And it's not even wide enough to fit the wheel bed of four standard wheels, so the wheels sort of jut out of the sides.
It looks like a sexy lawnmower.
If anybody has seen the program Silicon Valley on HBO, the car that Peter Gregory drives, like, this is not that much of an exaggeration of what this is pretty much that car.
Can I get this car?
No, yes. No.
Pros and cons.
Oh no, you need to. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, the Calculate Finance calculator is down on the Renault.co.uk site. But this is it's £7,000, which I think is about $400 American. You should get a couple. You should get a flight of these. You should like Elvis would buy pickup trucks.
Oh, well, okay. What about this Office Hagrid? This is how they get around. They get to your office. How do they get there in a Twizy?
I was going to say, I take back everything I said. This should be the official company fleet of cars. And, like, we all need to come to work on these.
We really only have, like, the three parking spots up front, and we could fit, like, 100 of these in there.
You guys, you have to go look at this. You got to go search for TWIZY. This car is very, I wouldn't even call this a car. This is very, very small.
Do they, can you get them in the U.S.? Do they have some sort of link of, like, purchase in the U.S.? Do you order online in a shopping cart like Amazon?
I think so. I think you can just, it's for, if you get free shipping, if it's over $25. France's funkiest car finally hits America.
Yes. Yes, it does. Indeed, it does.
Of all the words, funky is not what I would describe this. That's like when they tried to make the Kia Soul into a cool, like, rapper car. Like, it was like, ah, this is what all the cools are driving. No.
My new whip.
Have you actually driven this, Max?
No, I've just, I've seen them driven, people drive these around in Italy. There's a lot of little smart cars and motorcycles and stuff, and I see these, and every time one of them goes by, I think, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I really want to get one of these and drive it around Chicago. And then people would be like, ooh, there goes that guy with that weird tiny car.
I bet in their head they'd be like, you know, that car really looks like something called a Twizy.
It's rebranded in the U.S. as the Nissan Scoot.
No!
Is it really?
It says Scoot on the side.
I would yell that. You actually, it doesn't have a horn. You just have to yell that at people when you're in traffic.
Scoot! Scoot! Scoot!
Excuse me.
My other car is also a Scoot.
Oh, my God.
Merlin, jump in the Scoot. Let's go to Dub Dub.
I gifted my doggo in the Scoot for Dub Dub. Dub Dub. Dub Dub.
I don't think we've addressed this for our audience yet, but in as much as you're comfortable sharing your location, Max, could you tell our listeners where you are right now?
Well, I don't want to compromise my operational security. Oh, wait a minute. Are these people honking at me? Am I the one who honked at?
Dom, dom.
All right. Okay. I'm with Veronica. We're in Italy, which is a country in Europe. And we're driving around. We're actually leaving Italy right now, so we're on the highway, and we're crossing into. We're driving up to Switzerland, and we're going to spend the night in this town called Lugano, and then we're going to drive up to Germany.
Wow!
Ooh,
is she allowed to talk? Can we say hi to Veronica? I've never talked to Veronica.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Veronica.
Oh my God, she's real. I figured you were like a blow up girl or something. This is so cool. Hi, Veronica.
I'm no blob.
How's the Alps?
Lovely.
Right now we're in a sort of a line of like a toll line to like get the ticket to get on the tollway, and everyone's just honking. The Italians, they love honking. There's more honking here than in Chicago. They roll their windows down. Hey, Scoot.
Yeah. I've always wondered, like, who standardized the honk? Like, why? It would just, you know, it, like the credit card machines now that, like, oh, you did the right thing. Why can't it just be like bloop bloop? And I would love it if I was just driving down the road and someone was like scoot scoot in a nice way instead of.
Okay, what about some sort of, you know how we love on this program, we love IoT connected home devices, and we had our Pavlocks, which were the sort of smart devices that we could trigger to shock each other to administer just a small but irritating electrical shock. Okay, what about this scenario? What if there was some sort of Internet of Things cars where instead of honking, it would sort of administer a mild electrical shock to a car that you could target in your vicinity.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's
really, but it would be micro transaction based. So you'd pay.
Oh, you could Venmo somebody a shock or whatever the equivalent is.
Yeah, every time you use the ScootNet, you'd pay me 25 cents.
That's pretty good. You get woofy. The more you use it, and then you get the what they call it, the network effect, right? And you could power the car through the electric shocks, maybe.
Right. Now, why will people adopt this? Why will they install it in their car?
Because it's definitely a fetish. That is.
I was a very bad driver. Scoot, scoot. You can attach it to your balls. you know?
So quickly. Like, I feel like this hasn't been addressed. As soon as self-driving cars, like, people are very excited, like, oh, I can read on my way to work. No, everybody, like, all men are going to be masturbating on their way to work. I don't know.
Wait, wait, what do you do when
it's
you
the
read?
New shaving.
Like, there's got to be, I'm sure, like, my problematic boyfriend, Elon Musk, is like, okay, he's, like, developing some way to turn cum into a battery. Like, there's got to be some, you know.
It's, floors, it's floors, floors. I love floors. I love my floors. Because apparently he's Goldfinger.
He's a very handsome man. Max, what? So you've been taking a lot of pictures of sunsets, which I really, really appreciate, as well as pictures of penises from the Renaissance, I think. I actually don't know anything about Italian history or, like, any of the places you're going. What's like, the coolest place you've been or the coolest food you've eaten? I know that you eat food.
Well, I didn't know anything about Italian culture either or history, really, but I've been here for 6 days and we watched some YouTube videos, so I'm prepared to answer 100% of your questions. As you know, Italy is a small, it's a province, no, it's a peninsula
that
sits in the Mediterranean.
Okay, Max, quick question.
Exports are...
Is it a land of contrast, do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
You got this guy over here, you got this guy over there.
They have both wheat, which they make their signature dish called a pasta with.
A pasta.
And they have corn, or as the American Indians called it, maize.
Mm. I'm learning so much.
So we flew into Rome, and we spent a couple days in Rome. And Rome is very much based around ancient history, I would say. So, like, we saw the Colosseum and some other stuff that I forgot the name of. That's, you know, a lot of, like, pillars and stuff. And it's cool. It's it's incredible. One of the things that kept coming up as a theme. This is very. I feel like John Roderick here. I'm, like, holding forth on historical matters about Europe. One of the things that was cool was the ancient Romans knew how to do all this stuff, like build domes, and then everyone forgot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so people for like thousands of years looked at the ancient Romans and they were like, these people were geniuses. Like, they were the greatest people who ever lived. And then there was the Renaissance in like 1500, and all these people, like Christopher Columbus and Michelangelo and some other folks.
All the great Ninja Turtles. Right.
Mm. And so thousands of years looked at the ancient Romans and they were like, trying to, they were like, these people were geniuses. Like, they were the greatest people who ever lived. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Renaissance
Bocelli.
In like 1500. Mm-hmm. And all these people, like Christopher Columbus and Michelangelo and some other folks, are maybe like more Renaissance based. We saw a bunch
Do they have a Duomo? Is that where they have a Duomo?
Yes. Monica's nodding, yes. Yeah, it was... Florence was... I mean, Rome, I think Rome... So, like, when we flew in and we were, like, jet-lagged and we did just sort of like a forced march of like tours through like ancient Roman stuff, and it was good because it like forced us to be awake and like, you know, we got some like travel energy out of the way, and then we went to Florence and like chilled out a little bit more. And Florence is a fucking great city. I could 100% I could live in Florence. It's like just good, the right mix of like quiet and exciting, amazing food. It's like, it's literally picturesque. You can literally just point your camera in a direction and pull the trigger, and it's an incredible picture. And there were like magical moments of like, I was like a periscope. I did a little periscope last night, but we were just like walking, looking for basically a square, like a palazzo to have dinner in. And, you know, there's these little like outdoor cafes, and you just sit there for 5 hours and like drink apricot brandy and eat pasta. And sit there and read our books and like have a long dinner. And we start hearing like music, and we walk into this huge plaza, and it's like the one outside of the with all the classical sculptures and the replica of David outside, all like lit up in the night. And there's just a bunch of children playing classical music, like the most beautiful classical music. And it was just, it was like very Disney. It was like, this was like engineered. It all seemed very expensive. It seemed like it was just set up right for us to walk into.
You walk into a different corridor and there's a specific smell.
Mm-hmm. You can go to the character breakfast.
I'm curious. I would know that you had been to the Sistine Chapel based on like a picture you took, because there's no pictures in the Sistine Chapel. But did they give you a short lecture about how that if you were to eat any bread there, it did indeed need to have gluten? Because I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but that's a big thing. Oh, you've been to the Vatican and Sean Spicer hasn't. Aww. I wonder how he feels about.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Did the Trump-Russia story finally die?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you could be talking about, but the Pope officially said all Eucharistic hosts must contain gluten. There can be GMOs, but there can be no gluten-free hosts. Yeah, and that was the biggest thing that happened in world news this week.
Was there any sort of reasoning behind that?
No.
I think that's where all the Jesus is. The Jesus is in the gluten, probably.
Yeah.
I think the Pope is not above the, with all due respect, I think he's not above the occasional slightly arbitrary statement. I doubt there's anything mm-hmm. in the Aramaic about gluten, but I don't know. I can't read Aramaic. I'm not Mel Gibson.
Hey, Alex, I'm I forgot to mention, but at the office, I'm expecting this package. Could you keep an eye out for it? It's going to be no reason. It's just these huge stone tablets, these biblical passages, and the from address will not be filled out.
All right.
It could be
from
anyone.
Yeah.
It just says. I swear it's tiles. Definitely commercial flooring.
Mm. Merlin, have you been getting a lot of like? I'm genuinely curious because now if you Google email, just other things might come up that aren't necessarily directly related to the product of email, but are suddenly is 43 folders getting a ton of hits again?
I don't know. I don't even know where to find it anymore.
Oh, all right.
I'm really overwhelmed by email making a comeback. I thought we were done with this. I really did. It's Oh, Max, you're not missing out, buddy. You are not missing out this week. It's but even then, if you want to go take somebody like had a whole article about taking that email conversation and turning it into something that you could read on a page, and I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's a mess. Don't email anybody. Just stop emailing people. We have to stop the email. It has to end.
I'm contemplating when I get back, not even just deleting all my email without even looking at it. If it's important, they'll email me again. Yeah.
I am totally on board with that. This is something was it M.G. Siegler who did this at one point? He was just like, I'm just not going to do email anymore. I'm just not going to do it. And like, I don't know. I still find that my email volume has gone way, way down over the years because I think I have people pretty scared and also people don't use it much. And it is funny because email is the bozo bit in some ways.
Okay, hang on. I have to get a ticket.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Request receipt.
Are you using an Italian machine?
Uh oh.
Oh, no.
Okay, hang on. There's a spot for a credit card. Okay, eat your card.
No, be careful. Make sure there's no skimmer.
That's
how they get you.
The robot has an accent. Oh, my God.
Not scanning valid.
Oh, no.
I think it wants me to put something in that I don't have. 180.
Is that a lira?
Well,
it's a pretty voice.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I got one of my cards. Hang on.
I think you've been hacked.
Okay, I'll just narrate over here.
Hey, Veronica. is it like an American-type toll booth? Like, what's happening? Can you illustrate the scene?
So we just got through it, but it's like a toll booth, and some of the toll booths on this road, like, just give you a ticket and then you pay later. So it marks like where you entered the highway, right?
Oh, like a turnpike.
Yeah. This one wanted us to give it money right away and we got really confused. So it didn't like my card.
There's not, these people, there's not a word of English on any of this stuff. They've got a whole fucking civilization here, and they didn't even speak English to each other. They've built all these buildings and all these highways, and they do it all with their little squawks and beeps. And
maybe they forgot. Maybe they forgot how to speak English. It's the 1400s all over again.
They're trading the coins. They're just they're not even money. They're just trading each other valueless little slips of paper.
It's good. Dom.
The whole civilization.
Can you try to reason with it?
We really haven't had a lot of trouble. I waving euros around, and then the four words of Italian that I picked up, like si, no, grazie.
This could be a Kobayashi Maru type situation, Max. Maybe they're challenging you to see whether you're worthy of Alps. Maybe you're supposed to hack the system, and then you eat an apple.
I lost half of that reference, but I can't stop imagining the little Italian machine. It's just like,
it's probably, I don't want to be racist, but it's probably a mechanical Turk. There's probably a tiny Turkish man in there talking in a fakey lady's accent. Put in your money.
I tried to rent a small, here's the thing. We haven't been driving around like Rome and Florence. We've just been driving to these cities, parking the car and then walking like, you know, fucking human beings. The cities are notoriously awful to drive in. I mean, they're all like one-way little cobblestone things with like bikes and motorcycles just like zipping up and down.
I mean, you'd know that if you'd seen, if you'd watched the Lizzie McGuire movie, like I've told you to,
or Roman Holiday. Mm-mm. You should see if you can, see if you can get Roman Holiday on YouTube. It might be super helpful.
So I tried to pick a car that would like, you know, for like the actual, is that what I want?
No.
Okay, straight. I tried to pick a car for like the actual drive that we're doing through the Swiss Alps that would be like a good, safe four-wheel drive car. So I got this like BMW 5 Series, and then when we got to the thing at the airport, they didn't have that, so they upgraded us to a 7 Series, and it's an extremely nice car. But this car is like a fat ass. Like, it's hard to drive around these. It's like not pleasant driving around these streets. Like, I got the full insurance, so I'm okay to like scratch the sides. But,
oh, nice.
Yeah, making use of that. Making good use of that full insurance package.
I'm trying to see like the difference between a 5 and a 7. This is like a scoot car.
Well, it's two
not
more,
a scoot,
Alex.
Scoot.
It's two more.
Yeah, there's
two more BMWs.
They just trailed behind.
I feel like a regular Marco Arment in this car.
Is it black?
It is, actually.
Nice.
Is this what he had? Is this what Marco got?
I don't know. I think he's got like a special bespoke black BMW. It like cuts people off in traffic for you. BMW 7 Series. Oh, that's a big boy. Look at that. Mm-hmm. The future of luxury is here. Sophisticated performance. A new era of the... I don't want... You know my location, BMW. You know how we feel about being on German's lists. I don't want to be on a German list.
Major European toilet discussion. I have a couple of items for follow-up. Follow-up number one. The first hotel we stayed in Rome, they did not have, in the hotel room, rolls of toilet paper. There was no roll of toilet paper. We didn't discuss this. Did you notice this?
How do you not discuss that?
Is it possible that all of Europe is a Kobayashi Maru scenario?
I forgot about it until now.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So instead of rolls of toilet paper, they have like a little plastic dispenser, almost like it would look like, you know, like a thing you'd get soap out of, and it dispensed little individually folded squares of toilet paper. So each one was like a C-fold like paper napkin that you'd get at a restaurant, but it was toilet paper material. And I didn't mind it. It wasn't bad. It saved me the work of having to rip the toilet paper myself.
Are you kidding?
You didn't like it?
No.
Why didn't you like it?
It was rough. One.
Well, the quality of toilet paper at a hotel, I mean, yeah, it's not been great.
Yeah, but also like. Imagine like wiping with tissues. It was just one at a time. It was weird.
Well, yeah, and you kind of have to like make a different estimate in your mind, I feel like.
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea when I would be done. It was wild.
Oh, wait. Did you do like one at a time, or did you just gob it up?
Yeah,
and
you'd go one. You try a couple. Yeah.
I never.
That's like eating your pasta one strand at a time. Max, are you a folder or a water by nature?
Oh,
fold. Okay, there's not even, this can't possibly be a debate. What could you do with the wad?
Oh, don't get me started. Oh my God.
Merlin, are you a water?
I'm a folder. I'm a gentleman. I do a nice little fold.
People who wad, it's like, have you ever painted have you ever done like that, like an arts and crafts project when you were a kid where you took a sea sponge and you dip it into paint and you make sort of a mottled texture with it?
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's no way to paint that canvas. No, sir.
You're just smearing it. You're just getting it. You're getting it everywhere.
No, that's not painting. Alex, am I getting the feeling you're a closet water?
No, I will say though, I have on occasion wadded, but only because I've been in situations where there was no folding. It was just not happening. Like we've discussed before, it's a rite of passage that at some point you're going to use off-brand Scott toilet paper for your ass. And it's very uncomfortable and horrible. But there's just, like, you've never been in a concert venue where it's like you cannot make those little squares happen. It's just, like, it's time, it's physics, there's so many factors that, and you're right, but the trick there is just to use, like, three times as much wad, but I guess that's how you get fatbergs.
You know what I like about the concert venue, when you sit down in the toilet stall, they have those huge rolls of toilet paper, like a wheel of Parmesan cheese, and they've got two of them, one on top of the other. I'm very comforted by that. When I sit down in that stall, I'm like, okay, I can work with this.
You're well equipped for whatever comes up.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want to be normative here, but this brings up the fact that you guys have been sitting at a who shits at a concert? Why?
Like when you go to like a convention, when we go to a convention.
Yes.
I've had to shit at conventions.
Yeah, the heart wants what it wants. Oh. And love will find a way. I've been there. I've seen the pitcher's mound. I've lived it. That's no way to live. The multicolored pitcher's mound of the public, and sometimes you just got to get in there. Last time I was in a portalette, I put down my beer because I had to urinate, and then my beer started to fall off the toilet paper thing, and I went like this. I went. I ended up pissing all over myself, and beer went flying everywhere. So the lesson is. Be careful where you put your beer in a portalette.
If you sit down in a bathroom,
you can put it between your legs.
You see one of those huge rolls of toilet paper, like it's a spare tire on the back of a Jeep. That's, you know what that is? That's the sign. You know, it's like one of those guys like waving an airplane in with his like orange blinkers. That's the venue waving you in saying, you are free. You are free and clear to flush the Chicago Tribune down this toilet. Go ahead. We do not care what happens to this bathroom. You are all clear. Free to land.
Mr. Atemkin, come on in here and drop your dab-dab. I hate them so much. I hate them so, so very much.
topic number two regarding Italian bathrooms. The bidet situation, which I'm not going to make a whole thing out of, except the previous country that I went to where there was, like, bidets everywhere was Japan. And in Japan, they're, like, fancy toilets. So you sort of sit on the toilet, and it sprays your butthole with water, and then it has a little fan, and it dries you off. And you just sort of sit there, and this thing happens to you. I tried it a few times, and I was like, it's not for me. I recognize that it's objectively a cleaner, better, more sanitary system, but I'm not. It's not my... It's not my lifestyle. The ones in Italy, they're like, okay, it's like a kitchen sink faucet coming down horizontally with a bend into a shallow bowl. And I'm staring at it. I'm like, I don't know how to use this if I wanted to. Like, that's not the angle that my butthole goes at.
Well, is it for your dingus or your behind? Is for your behind? Are you supposed to sit in it like a sitz bath? Like you got a hemorrhoid situation? Like,
what is the...
You fill it with water and sort of splash it. You do... Veronica's nodding. Did you use
it today? No, I
have to look it up. Italian butt
soup? You looked up... What did you search for?
How do I use a bidet?
What did it say?
Well, it said there's two ways, obviously. You can wash your back or your front, and you just sort of, if you need to, like, fill the basin with water, and then you're kind of, like, sitting in a puddle of water.
They call it Italian wedding soup. Mm. Yeah.
It's like the wad situation all over again. You're just making the problem worse for yourself.
But also, so if it's your back that you're washing, you can kind of like bend forward to get the faucet to clean you off instead of like splashing yourself.
Oh,
this. Okay, when I was in Japan, there was this thing that kept coming up. We did too many tours and things. We went to like too many like of the same like Shinto shrines and stuff. And there's a thing in almost all of these shrines where there's sort of a pool of standing water and, you know, or sometimes like a little spigot dripping water into this sort of basin. Very peaceful. And what you're supposed to do is, what everyone does is you go up, when you go to the shrine, you rinse your hands under the little spigot of water. And then some people will sort of splash it onto their face. And some people will, like, drink out of this, like, pool of standing water. And the guide who we were with, they were like, you, like, do this to purify yourself because the ancient Japanese believed that the water would cleanse you, and I'm all for that, I get it, but now, like, we understand that that does not clean you, that, like, rinsing, putting into your mouth the water that 10,000 tourists have just put their hands into is not a sanitary solution, right? Like, we actually know more than the ancient Japanese on this topic.
Hmm.
It seems like, kind of like cleansing yourself by trying to copulate with the Dyson blower at the movie theater. Now I'm so clean down in my basement area. I can go back up to the baby driver. No. I think there's an old world idea of water as being this cleansing thing. But like once there's other people's detritus in it, that's not clean anymore. That's not even water. Like that's so bad.
Yeah. Once your butthole is touching that water, it's not a cleaning solution anymore.
Yeah, that was Mark Twain said that.
It also, the same situation, honestly, really perplexes me. When I see a janitor mopping a floor with a bucket of, like, fetid gray water.
They're just scooting gray brown water around on the floor. Like, what are you doing?
And they're working so hard at it, but to what end? Like, what is it doing?
Have you ever seen someone actually working hard at that, though? Like, I
have actually had that job. I've actually had to mop a floor. For years, I mopped floors. And I did what I was told because I wasn't paid enough to care about the job or the cleanliness of the floors meaningfully, but I would never do that in my house. It's crazy.
Well, exactly.
What is that? It's not cleaning anything. You're just redistributing the dirt and the germs in a more equal fashion.
it's like germ communism. You're making sure that whatever the nastiest thing in that water is now everywhere. It's like the whole mad cow problem. You take like the least of our cows is in there causing a problem for all the good ones.
I think I see an alp.
Ooh.
Is that an alp? All right.
I just realized that the only countries I've ever been to, CGP Grey has made a video about it. So like someone, he needs to do one on Italy or Japan. I mean, he did one on Vatican City, but Vatican City, not technically in Rome.
Have you been to that special sub London?
Oh, the sub London. No, I was just in Heathrow for about an hour, and I count it as being in London.
That totally counts.
No, that's mark enough that if there's something happens in current events regarding England on Twitter, you can be like, well, so let me tell you about London.
I have spent at least 20 minutes in the official Harry Potter gift shop. Let me tell you how I feel about the Prime Minister.
Their exports are gruel and decent comedies.
So the Tories and Edgar Wright and...
Yeah, you got the Torch. I went to that pub, the Torch and Laurie.
did you guys see Baby Driver? Should I see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Twice.
Oh.
People don't seem to be like crazy about it, which makes me feel like maybe I'll really like it.
we should save it. This should not be your first Ed Dub joint.
No, I wrote for Hot Fuzz. I think I've seen his films before. I can't remember.
Scott Pilgrim. You saw Scott Pilgrim, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Who is Scott Pilgrim?
Great question. I mean, that's what it's all about. I saw the one where they were like there were aliens and they went drinking around the world.
Not a good first good Ed Dub.
No, and then I saw the, I think I saw the zombie one too.
So we've seen the Cornetto trilogy, and just that young that young man is very handsome.
Which one? Oh yeah.
Follow up. Jugga. Okay, I have a more Internet of Things related follow up. So I have new grievances to share with you to air on the podcast regarding all of my Internet of Things devices. So we're out of town, and listen again. I don't want to. I think this episode. When does this come out? Yeah, don't listen. Anyone who gets any ideas about possibly penetrating my home defenses, taking my cordless drill, my PlayStation, I have a series of, there's a lot of booby traps, there's like oil slicked floors and BBs everywhere.
Christmas ornaments.
And I've got cardboard cutouts of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
And is your brother armed? Is that right? Is your brother's probably a real beefy guy, right?
He's huge. He's huge and he knows
my brother is a very large man.
So you do not want a piece of that. So anyway, don't get any ideas. But basically, we're out of town, and all of my like Internet of Things devices are like constantly just like beeping and buzzing my phone, and I'm completely like powerless. Like I can't do anything about it. Like I'm constantly getting a Nest Cam has detected a 4 a.m. in Chicago. My Nest Cam has detected a person. I see. I need to get into the thing to get it.
Oh God!
My Nest Cam has detected a person in the garage, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. So I like, you know, I'll like text my brother and be like, I can't really do anything about this, but I think there's probably someone in the garage. Uh-oh.
Digga. Garage updates from Nextdoor. Nextdoor neighbor Jason writes to say, subject line: random guys in car asking to rent garage. Notes, my wife was coming back from the beach today and around 2, and these two men in a largish blue car insistently kept asking my wife if they could rent our garage. She ended the conversation abruptly. Any thoughts? Description of vehicle involved. Color, blue. Make, unknown. Model, unknown. Year, 1985. Type, car. I don't know how you can know a car is from 1985 without knowing what kind of car it is.
I mean, maybe you know how whenever the guys on, I've only seen a few episodes of Top Gear, but they kind of have this like car sense. It sounds like they just sort of hover over a car and they know.
Oh, they got like a 10,000 hour kind of thing. Yeah. Where they can just eyeball it. Yeah, you're probably right.
I keep getting really excited because I actually turned on notifications for Nextdoor. But it's always like, hey, someone by my couch, and right now it's raining in Chicago and it's like flooding. Anybody else have issues?
Anybody
flooding?
Else seeing this?
Yes, wait, you have flooding, Alex?
Oh my, Chicago, like I keep freaking out because I've got those like emergency alerts on iOS and they've been going off since last night.
Oh, you mean flooding, like there is flash flooding, not your apartment is flooding.
Right, yes. However, Nextdoor, although it seems like nobody is reporting that they have had any flooding, they like to post asking if other people have experienced flooding in case they do. Yes.
It's a classic scam because what are they trying to do? They're trying to gain ingress into the property. So you've got your tunnel man. You've got Don Cheadle. Now he's down below, and he's going to create an artificial fatberg. It backs up the sewer, creates flooding.
That's now, good.
Now, you could come swimming up through the basement. There's water. You could wait for the repair people to come in, and then you slip in your PG&E uniform.
Oh, this is how they get, and then you got Flood Boy. You got Flood Boy goes on Nextdoor and makes these posts, and then when people don't answer, they know that they're probably flooded and should come up through the drain.
Right. That's and then guess what? Classic scam. If you actually create flooding, and the Nextdoor person says, I called to see if they were supposed to be there, guess what they're going to say? Yeah, they were supposed to be there.
Oh, Flood's the MacGuffin. That's the distraction heist. But the bigger heist might be happening over here where it's just dry and arid.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, we're going through our mountains in the tunnels.
That was perfect.
Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, cool.
We lost you. You went. You went.
McDonald's. No, I think it's a small. I think it's a small one.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Here's another. Holy shit! That's beautiful. Oh my god. Holy.
When this contrast.
Is crazy. We're like looking off of. This is like a fucking postcard. Veronica's taking pictures. We'll put it in the show notes. It's like a green, verdant mountain with like little white houses built all down on it.
I don't want to be normative, but do you think you might want to just enjoy that instead of talking about your travel to-do list?
No. I think Veronica was really enjoying me recording a podcast during this drive. I know what I was going to say. Okay. Tunnel. iPhone 5.
Swan!
iPhone follow-up.
Dig it.
I've learned a lot from when we go into all these like art galleries and stuff. Mm-hmm. I spend about half of the time looking at the paintings and about half of the time watching tourists try to use their iPhones. And I've discovered two things that are just fucking absolutely mind-blowing about the way that they use their phones. The first is, number one, everybody zooms in. Even though they like on a painting or whatever, and they don't seem to know that zooming doesn't—it's not adding any information. You would be better off just taking the picture and cropping later.
You might as well just throw your phone at the painting.
that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is these people. I've seen so many people standing in front of like a Botticelli trying to take a picture.
Oh, the Alp! I think the Alp got him.
The Alp got him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I still hear you.
You're losing you pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
When they're trying to take their pictures of paintings that they're going to treasure and remember forever, they're every 2 seconds, they're constantly being prompted to join a Wi-Fi network. Like, before their finger can grace the trigger button, it's like, do you want to join the Duomo Wi-Fi network? Like, no. Like, they're frantically, like, constantly hitting no.
They leave that on? I never leave that on. That's crazy.
Merlin, we're not normal people. This is
on auto join.
Oh man, I turned that off a long time.
Who would ever want to be interrupted by whatever they're doing to be like, "Do you want to join one of these 6 Wi-Fi networks that are password protected?"
Mm.
Did I think the Alp has
the Alp got him?
No, we're
no. Hey, buddy,
going through the tunnels.
Hey, yeah, that's a spicy meatball.
I'm just stunned by how beautiful these. Mountains are, and how
this is gonna be a good one.
Yeah, this is a great radio. I just hear small bits of Italian words that Max is trying to say coming in and out.
Let's send each other Hot Fuzz gifts while we're waiting. Yeah. I just sent you the swan.
Proceed with the show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, don't wait for me. Just proceed with the show.
All right, all right.
I can hear you.
Are you our hype man? You just be coming in occasionally just to shout encouragement. Alps!
Everything's so beautiful!
Dom, dom!
The Sound of Music was not really shot here.
Hey, guys, we're at the border, so we're going to not talk.
I don't know that for sure.
Oh no.
Mm. You know what you should do like in those videos, Max? You should assert your rights. Videotape the whole thing and assert your rights to those people. You let them know that you're a citizen. Why do they even come to the country if they can't speak the language?
I believe you just... It said stop, but... Oh, here we go.
Stop.
Wait.
Oh, my God. Is he getting black bag? What's going on?
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Highway.
Highway?
See? You go inside an office, parking inside.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, no, shit. No.
The last we ever heard from him.
I keep getting very nervous.
All right, we're being detained at the border. Hang on.
Oh.
I'm going to bring this with, and we'll just see what happens.
No!
Yeah, no, this will be fun. No,
that's a good idea. You should do that.
I'm so sorry, Veronica.
Do you watch Game of Thrones, Alex?
I do indeed.
I just boned up on the last two eps of the last season. I forgot that Filch is in Game of Thrones. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. There's only 20 actors in England, and they've all been in Harry Potter.
No, just not to correct you, there's been 20 British actors ever. There are six working at any given time, including Bill Nighy. You got Filch. He's the mumbling guy in Hot Fuzz. He's also the first Doctor now.
Oh,
did you watch the last?
I have not. No,
The second to the last episode is really, really good.
How I consume my media is basically I see an incomparable episode pop up. Then I think, oh, I should go watch that. And then I do that and listen to all of you be funny about some sort of media I either deeply enjoyed or deeply hated.
Oh, shit, dog. Did we lose Max?
Dibs on his parking space. Okay.
Or now.
Or Sean.
Oh, Max is still here. Oh, God.
No, it just means it's like coming out of the phone and not the speaker.
Talk.
I think they just really take like a little ticket to head and use the highway. I don't think we're in trouble.
No, I mean, sorry there, but we should bring our passports in case.
Being put into a bag? What's happening? Oh my.
It's called an Italian bag. The thing is, if he gets beat up in an Italian bag, this is going to go so viral. This is going to be. Bruce Springsteen will write a song about him.
I think they're going to end up in the trunk of a Mini Cooper. Do they have. Mini Coopers have trunk? I don't know.
They call it a boot. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if what we're doing right now is a felony. Are they in a government center? Should I hang up on him, or should we keep?
See.
Oh, he's good. He's really.
Wait, is he speaking Italian? This is
in Italian. Yeah. It's good. They're not gonna think it's weird that people are laughing on his phone, right?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. They're very jolly people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've purchased some sort of sticker.
Oh.
It was 40 euros.
What is that in money?
I think it allows us to drive on the streets. Hang on, I can put them back on speaker.
40 lira in euros. Okay. Hey, buddy.
Oh, everything all right?
Yeah, we had to buy a sticker, and I tried to drive away from the customs guy because I thought he was waving me. I thought he was like, go on, but what that gesture meant was stop and buy a sticker for 40 euros.
Oh.
It's a little differences. Mm. 40 lira is 2 cents in America.
The guys, they look so Swiss in there, like a cartoon of a Swiss person.
I believe it looks a little something like this.
I feel like being detained in Switzerland has to be either incredibly pleasant or just incredibly confusing. Like, am I
probably
in
like
trouble?
Going to jail in Eagleton. I bet it's like Eagleton jail. I bet it's pretty sweet.
Am I in trouble with these pastries for me? What's happening?
Would you like some canapes?
Have you been released? Is everything all right? Are you back on the road?
Oh, yeah, we're fine. We had to go into a little office and buy the sticker. And now we're affixing the sticker to the windshield for the instructions on the sticker back.
Mm-hmm. And it's the upper corner.
Is he going to lose the deposit on his whip, Alex? You know, it's continuing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still doing four a day. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing four a day.
We made it!
Oh, I'm so happy. Is this the part where Julie Andrews waves to you?
How do you solve a problem like the Twizzy? Plug into positive energy today. Reviews are loading on the site for Twizzy. Starting from £6,995.
God, can you believe they put Barbara Streisand in Funny Girl instead of her? Like, oh no, we need a bigger
there's
star.
So much, there's so much injustice in Hollywood musicals. Oh, you know what? Let's make that a challenge.
Gosh.
Injustice in Hollywood musicals.
Get justice for Julie Andrews?
Well, don't get me started on Marnie Nixon. Can I literally beg you? Injustice in Hollywood musicals. Marnie Nixon, the way they treated her.
Hmm.
A flibbity jibbity will o' the wisp, a clown.
Ha ha ha! any podcast my mom will ever listen to, and she'll find it so fucking funny. And I just want to thank you.
She says, a clown. A clown. God, those lesbian nuns love to argue. They're just always bickering. Bickering. Look at me, I'm an Austrian nun. I got it all figured out. Is she a flibbertigibbet? Is she a will o' the wisp or a clown? What the fuck? Who are you sent to talk to entertain? She'll make clothes out of curtains very soon. No one likes the Baroness, not even the captain.
I don't know if you know this, Max. I really like musicals. Oh
my God. My captain is a very large man. Is Max supposed to be gay in that, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his buddy, the entrepreneur agent guy, you think he's supposed to read as gay in that?
I think so.
Like I'm sorry, I'm asking you as a person, when you view that text, do you think he's meant to telegraph as a gay man?
Because
I feel like he is. I feel like he's a classic Hollywood sissy.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's not supposed
to be. And a Jew, probably a Jew. Like, a little bit of a Jew, gay Jew. Gay Jew, that's like a kaiju.
Oh, right? Oh, okay.
Oh, I know that. I know that guy, the gay Jew. He steals people's jokes on Instagram.
Now I have your guilt.
All right, dig dug. Before we potentially lose Max to the Alps or more Swiss guards, do we want to do our challenge, or at least have Max do his portion?
Yeah, I do.
Mostly, I'm just really, really curious.
You know, we haven't asked Alex. Have we asked who's driving the car?
Oh yeah,
I'm driving.
Oh,
what?
Hmm.
Huh.
I'm driving, Veronica's navigating, and she's doing a very good job.
Thank you, Veronica.
Challenge this week.
Oh, you didn't tell Veronica the challenge?
I think the Alps got him.
Oh, man.
They got Alped.
Those famous Swiss tunnels.
You know, all that said, this is going much better than I expected. I like Veronica. Can she be like a semi-regular on here?
Veronica's the best.
I like Veronica.
Let's plug Veronica's comic book. It's
oh, no, my Veronica.
The...
Gonna plug her comic book? Plug it.
So Veronica Burns, Atomic Size Matters. She made her thesis, her PhD into a comic book about, and it's so good.
Good.
Should get it. Yeah.
I'm looking at her internet website right now.
Yeah. She's a very
which I discovered by searching for Veronica Chemistry comic book first return.
Every year at our we've got like a big New Year's Eve party at our office every year, and now we do a talent show. Oh, do we? I think the Alp got him.
The Alp got him.
But she'll do these crazy chemistry tricks. Yes,
chemistry tricks. Chemistry,
you know, the magic.
I don't want to be negative, but this is an electron.
But she wrote an amazing book. Max, are you there?
There's no Max. No.
Okay.
There's only Zool.
Dig dug.
How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Merlin.
Do it again. I cut you off. Do it again.
Dig.
We should do a podcast. This is fun.
I do. Yeah. People seem to be liking. You know what? I'm going to thank you to all of the people. I know that people don't like when I address the listeners on the show, but I'm going to say thank you, nice people, who've said a lot of nice things about the stuff I make on the internet this week. It made me very happy.
Do they think you're dying, Alex? What's that? What happened?
Yeah, right? Oh, I real-time follow-up copyright John Syracuse.
1997.
He got a text from Dr. Burns, who is Veronica, in my phone. She is an actual doctor of chemistry, saying, call us back in a minute. We are switching to a new cell carrier. I will let you know when we have service again.
Oh, my God.
I wonder.
That's amazing.
I wonder if you need, if like once. If,
oh, hey, look at that. I see Max.
Oh.
Hey, it's Breakout Hit Star Max.
I'm back.
Hey, buddy. All right,
so the challenge was to go to Italy. Did you, either of you guys do it?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful. Lot of stone penises just everywhere.
Bust a nut on that Duomo.
So as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by these mountains, the challenge this week was to, because the last week I was in the midst of packing for this trip, and I was very stressed out about making sure I had all the right, like, dongles and adapters. My challenge was to describe your packing list or a system of preparing to pack for a trip, or what you know, keep ready to go, any of that kind of stuff.
I am prepared. I did this challenge. Should we drop it into the super secret text exchange?
Oh, please do.
I can't. I'm driving, so.
Oh, that's.
Oh, yeah, all right.
You'll have to.
I'm curious, though. Max, do you have any, like, do you have a system? I want to dive into yours first before the Alps take you again. Do you have, like, a regular list or procedure or ritual while you're packing or before you travel?
I do. I'm very, like, gear-based, even though that's not really very important as compared to, like, being organized, but it's kind of the way that I'll, like, just deal with my travel anxiety. So I have, first of all, I have I have the greatest suitcase in the world. I have a Zucca bag, Z-U-C-A, and it's small. I have the Zucca, like, airplane one, like, not, it's a very, very small suitcase. It has a rigid metal frame, so nothing can, like, you know, even if I have to check it or whatever, like, nothing gets broken. It's actually sturdy enough that you can sit on it like a chair, or you can pull it up to you and use it like a desk to put your laptop or iPad on. Which
this is amazing.
For, like,
it looks
stuck in the airport.
It looks almost like a power generator. Like, it looks like industrial. This is so cool.
I do occasionally get questions at the airport. People are like, "What is this? Is it because it looks maybe like a speaker or something?" But it's just a zipper, and then inside it's just empty. And so, what do I like about this? So it has the rigid frame. It's very sturdy. It only has two wheels. I fucking hate these four-wheeled bags because I find them really hard to, like, navigate on the floor.
What?
And the two wheels, they I don't know, that's just, I find them really hard to, like, deal with. And the two wheels are, they're like rollerblade wheels. They're those, like, big, puffy rubber wheels. And they're like
a razor scooter. Like, they're real, real big, like, polyurethane looking.
Yeah, and they're, like, they just handle so well of, like, you know when you get to those little, like, bumps getting on the escalator and stuff? Like, this bag just, like, I just, like, it just goes. Like, it works perfectly. And then it comes with its own system of packing cubes, which I've adopted. And the packing cubes go into the bag, pour it, like, one on top of another in a sort of vertical stack. So when you get to your hotel, you just sort of lay the bag down and pull the cube out that you need. And it makes it very easy. If I take a long trip, like on this trip, I can actually live out of the bag, which is great. And all my shit stays very organized. And I'll say, like, if you're not into the packing cube lifestyle, you have no idea how many clothes you can fit into a small bag and how much shit you can cram in there.
Once you go to the packing cube lifestyle, it would be like just throwing all of your dishes in a pile in the kitchen. It's crazy. Once you've done it once, you're like, I will never go back.
Now, do you fold or roll into your cubes?
I'm a roller.
Yeah, rolling's better. I do for shirts. I do folding for socks, panties, and whatnot. I usually just do a roll. I have a bunch of different ones from different companies, and I deploy them based on, like, the size of the trip, basically.
I'm a big roller. I'll roll anything, even a suit. And if you go on YouTube, there are tutorials of how to roll, like, a men's suit so that it doesn't get destroyed and wrinkled. And then I also travel in my, like, dop kit. I travel with a little travel bottle of this thing called Downy Wrinkle Releaser. And
yes.
It's basically kind of like a Febreze-like substance. And if I, you know, I don't have it on this trip because I don't have any nice clothes. But, like, if I go somewhere and I have a suit, I spray it on the suit and I give it a little spritz. And then it just sort of, it's just fucking magical. It's like putting it in the bathroom when you take a shower. It just sort of, like,
wow.
It just sort of, like, comes unwrinkled. And then, let's see. And then my only other tip for, I have a couple other, like, specific ones. But my big one is, you know, I travel enough. Like, I would say if you travel once per month or even maybe once every other month, like pack a suitcase travel, just get two of everything. Not your clothes, but, like, your travel shit. So, like, an example is my Apple Watch charging cable. That was something where I was like, I do not want to unplug this special little plastic disc every time I get into an airplane. So I just bought a second one, and the second one just lives in my suitcase, and I don't have to stress out about it anymore.
That's actually a really good idea. I think that's true for, I mean, obviously, there are people who, like, pack up their toiletries, you know, from the bathroom, but I've got a kit that I, and you'll see from my list, a big part of my thing is having these things that I reuse, and then when I get home, a reminder to, like, refill them, replenish them, and stuff like that. But I agree with you. At the very least, have a small, maybe a small, this sounds like overkill, but maybe a small USB hub that's just for when you travel. I've got one I like that does USB.
Sorry to interrupt, Merlin. There's motion at my front door. Thank you, Ring. Thank
you. Oh, no.
I had to buy a new cordless drill to put a Ring thing on my front door, so I had a very due by Friday week.
Oh,
you got the Ring?
Yeah.
Put it in the notes. We got to talk about Ring later. All right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No interrupt. But I mean, I would say, I mean, one thing, and this is just a good idea because you never know what kind of notice you're going to have. Having like a clean shirt and suit always ready. Like, don't, you know, launder it or don't get it dry cleaned when you need it. Like, have that always ready to go. And then as far as, like, I mean, really just a separate toiletries thing that's always ready to roll. And then I think, like I said, I got this one, I can find it for notes, but I've got one, I think I saw it off, I don't know, wire cutter, but it's a USB-C 3 plus 4 USB, whatever the blue ones are. And that thing's great. I can't keep track of all the dongles. And then some cables. You keep some Dyna cobbles in there. And
I'll send in the one that I bought because I actually did some research and found the smallest footprint USB charger, multi-USB charger that has like that, I don't know what they call it, that sort of like high voltage output that charges like a MacBook Pro, a MacBook or an iPad or something.
Yeah.
And I have one that has 4 USB spots and it plugs into one outlet. And I just basically keep an iOS cord, like a lightning cable, my Apple Watch cable, and 2 micro USB cables plugged into that thing at all times. And it lives in the outer pouch of my suitcase. First thing I do when I get to the hotel room, I unplug the whole block with the cables like in it. I like take it out of my suitcase, plug it in by the bed. And then the last thing I do before I leave the hotel, pull that thing out with all my cords, wrap it back up, back into the suitcase. And that way I never lose a cord. I never have to move it when I get home. It's always there when I need it.
Very smart. My first thing that I unpack out of my bag, it's really dorky. It's always the thing on top that I take out first, and it's the dumbest thing in the world. It's the thing made by this company called Red Ox, called the Travel Basket. And it's this thing that packs flat. I'll put it in here for you. And basically all it is like, it's very important to me, like at home with my wallet and keys being in the same place. I like having a thing that I put stuff in a hotel room. And so this thing, basically, it's got these snaps on it, and it turns into like a little. It's called a valet, right? A travel basket. So basically, it's this thing that the first thing I do is put that down. I put my wallet and everything in there, and that is my bulwark against madness. It's in notes.
Wow, that may make its way into my rotation.
Look at these colors.
Let me throw out I had an adjacent tip to the keep a clean shirt and a clean suit. So I think when you're packed for travel, when you have to go for like 10 days somewhere and you're packing for travel, you know what? It really exposes, it really brings out the A-team of your clothing. Like, it really, you know what I mean? Like, you know what you want to bring.
Yeah.
You know your like first round draft picks of like t-shirts and stuff when you're getting ready to pack for the trip. And you're like, your good underwear and, you know, the stuff you want. It's like, if I die on this airplane, I'm dying with my linen shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just own that clothing. Like, get rid of everything else. That's Max's life advice.
Minimalism.
But if you have that shirt that's like, this is my, like, go shirt, just get 5 shirts from that brand. And
oh, yeah, that's me and, I hate to admit it, that's me and Mac Weldon. Like, they're my go-to for, like, 3 items. They're costly, but, man, they're good. Their white t-shirt is my go-to t-shirt. It's got the long tail, like that Chris Anderson article, and it always stays tucked in. It's very thick. Again, it's one of those classic, like, I don't care what your version of this is, but find out what your version of that is and then stock up on that. I just replenished my gold toes. Didn't look back. It's great. Throw out all the grody socks. But no, I mean, the thing is, you've got to figure out, like, the last thing you want to be fretting about is, like, did I forget the high wattage See, I put Marvel stickers on all of my dongles.
Hold on. I'm very sorry to interrupt the men on this podcast. Mm. I apologize. The problem with the finding the one thing you like and then getting dozens of it is that I did that. And then I came to work for Cards Against Humanity, and it fucking matched all of Max's stuff, and he's gone.
That's a very strange coincidence.
Well, okay, so remember Trunk Club, which is it's the mailing service. They mail you the stuff, and it's all very costly and like way too expensive for me, except I got one trunk, and I'm like, okay, these are like the three things that I really like. You know what the one thing was? A light blue shirt with an Oxford collar that I had six of. Guess who else has that shirt?
Oh, come on.
And
that's not fair.
So now this is a life hack if you ever work for Cards Against Humanity and happen to have the same shirts as Max Temkin. Whenever you think you might be on camera, make sure and now I always the drawer behind my desk, I keep a separate folded shirt that is a different pattern or color in case.
Oh, that's so smart. You're so ready.
Because that literally happened one time and I went to an Old Navy to buy a shirt it match. Yeah, okay.
Should we talk about our list?
Yep. I have so many questions for you.
Give me yours.
My list? I'm just gonna read it real quick because it is not
what?
As
no. You're not gonna I read it. You're gonna send it to fine. Me. I sent you mine.
Okay. I'm sending it via a bunch of screenshots. Because
why don't you redact it? I mean, why are you not sending me? What is happening here? What are you hiding?
Nothing. It's just long and what? Okay, so my big life hack is I have a separate to-do list app just for my travel and packing list called Clear. I think I don't even know. I just
Yeah. This is very Mike Hurley.
This is the Mike Hurley method.
So Mike Hurley
to-do list app for everything.
It's even yellow and orange.
It's not. It's just for this one. Well, it's because my it's just easy. It's an easy thing to like. It auto repopulates when you're done. You can. It's very easy to add stuff like. As you are packing and like with one hand, because usually if I need to edit it, it's something like terrible has happened. And I haven't had to edit this list in a very long time.
If I were the kind of person that criticized screenshots of things, I would clean your clock. This is asinine.
I have a dilemma here, which is we're about to arrive at this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I pull up to the hotel, it's going to initiate the service process.
Wherein
tell me where the pool is and get my bags. And how do I avoid this?
Drive back to the guards.
Look up on the phone how to say I'm recording a podcast in Swiss.
Hang on. Is speak Swiss there?
Swiss. Why, it's a chocolate.
I'm recording a podcast. I can do it in Latin. Ego sum in gloria podcasts. Spanish. Let's see. Let's try en français.
Sure. Okay.
Oh boy.
Heure du matin, l'enregistrement d'un podcast. Do they speak German there?
They speak like every language here.
All right. Let me try Italian. Okay. Here we go. I am a registrar.
Veronica knows French, and I know how to speak English slowly, so we've been making it through. What do you have for travel? Because you have to travel. I know how much you travel, because we travel all the time together.
I pretty much do the same thing you do. I have, there's nothing in my life that's like too expensive that I don't have two of, except for my phone and laptop. You know what? I should get a second Apple Pencil.
Can I also just say something very quickly to cover my ass?
Yes.
The reason I was telling you wrong things was I was identifying my language as Latin. I was accidentally translating from Latin to Italian and German.
Like the funny, not funny YouTube bit that, what's his name, stole. Who's the new wannabe Johnny Carson SNL, not Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, what a guy. All right. Febreze, water bottle, Clonabin, Burt's Bees, mints, meds, travel pedal, iPad, toothpaste, wrist strap, shirts, passports, jeans, sweatshirt, underwear, socks, bras, toothbrush, razor, comb, face wipes, Apple Pencil, headphones, tweezers, buttons and pins, car wash, sunglasses, iPhone charger, laptop charger, laptop charger, and toothbrush.
What a shit show.
Watch charger, Q-tips, and mini USB charger.
Let me summarize it for you.
Well, this does not include the rituals I have before. What was that?
Oh my goodness!
I sneezed.
Oh, okay. That was not a scoot scoot. That was a
bono sera. Sound like David Lee Roth.
All right.
So
this is terrible. Alex. How do you live like this?
What do you mean? This is
also, why am I not in your contacts? How come you don't have me in your contacts?
What do you mean? You're in my what?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I got a raw email address here. What's going on? Are we not pals? I have so many questions, and this is why I don't look at people's screens, because everybody's wrong. This is a mess. What a goddamn mess. We got Lysol wipes on here twice, and you wouldn't even know.
Do I? Well, you know what? You never can have too much.
Oh, boy. I travel with those Lysol wipes. When I get onto the airplane, have we talked about this on the show? First thing I do, you got to wipe down your tray, the seat, the armrest, the whole thing. Because on the flight before you got on the plane, someone just died in that seat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then where they put a baby on there. It's like people who have that filthy sponge full of water that sits on the sink, and they just use it to like move those garbage germs
God.
Around.
All right, well, okay. So it seems that part of the issue you take with my list is there's no actionable items, but those live in my,
there's no organization. There's no organization to this. It's just a...
Well, here's the... yes, exactly. So I'm a very, 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 very anxious traveler, and I I travel a whole lot. So I've developed some, you know, hot tips and tricks, also known as Weird Alex tics and compulsions, to help with that. And so part of this is I go
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, no, the number I count to is 6, but so
what about your dolphin counting? We kept to 13,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so all right. Real quick,
we're getting an Amber Alert.
No, I'm it's one of the wonderful. Hang on, it's one of the wonderful features of the BMW 7 Series is if you get within like 30 feet of something, it just starts constantly beeping at you.
Oh boy!
All right. You're about to hit a hotel. You're about to hit a hotel. You're about to hit a hotel.
I'll address my 13 dolphins in a second. But the cool thing about the Clear app is that you can just physically move the items on your list around. So, like, before I'm traveling, I like to put them in a new order every time just because it makes me feel better. I visualize where they are in my apartment, and then usually I put them in the exact same spot. So it rarely changes. It just feels nice. So that is part of the ritual. Another part of the ritual now is having my suitcase out at least 48 hours before I go, because my cat, the dumb cat, Francis, has separation anxiety. Because of course he does. I have a cat with allergies and separation anxiety. He takes after his mom. And I usually don't have to worry about laundry or anything like that, because pretty much all of my clothes are the same. Like, I got rid of all of my t-shirts are various they're various podcast t-shirts, but they're all made of the same material. So I just grab a bunch of those, put them in the wire cut, whatever the wire cutter has as their choice of packing cube. Roller, not a folder.
Roller, not a folder.
And that's about it. However, for like play in transit type things, Max in our super secret text channel asked about how I deal with anxiety on planes, and the answer usually is medication. However, if you find yourself in an emergency situation, I find it helpful to take very deep breaths and count to 13. I also like to visualize dolphins jumping through waves because I am a crazy person. But it helps.
No, I think that's nice. I've been trying it. It's nice. It's not that weird.
I realized the other day when I, like, there are some things that you don't know until you're an adult. For example, I didn't know that Alex was a typically male name. I just thought that it was a genderless name. Man, if gay is like really nurture over nature, I didn't have a chance. But like I didn't realize that when people said like, oh, I like going on walks on the beach and sunsets, that it was like a trope. I really, really, really like walks on the beach and sunsets. I don't know why. It's really great. I also, when I'm traveling, pace around my apartment a lot and talk and ramble really quickly, much like I'm doing now, because I'm just thinking about traveling. So, the end.
I think that all sounds very healthy. We all got to cope in different ways.
Oh, yeah, they're totally normal and fine. Oh, and then need to hug my wife three times. Unless she is the one driving me, in which case we need to be in the third spot that she drops me off in the airport. Like, I usually am at the American Airlines terminal, so we go to the third spot. And then she drops me off there. And
this sounds very manageable.
Yeah, very totally, manageable. Totally fine.
Alex, do you own any special stuff that you like pack just for bringing to hotels and planes and stuff?
No. Just, it's the same thing I have at home, except it is the version that lives in my suitcase. I might add this little square dingus, though. The, what is it? The Red Ox...
Travel basket.
Yeah, travel basket.
Travel basket, the basket de travelo.
Veronica, what's your packing method? It seems to be sort of haphazardly grabbing things from around the house and then packing the maximum amount that fits into your suitcase.
Oh, it's going to be the rocks all over again, isn't it?
Oh, no, my rocks. My rocks. Veronica, what size suitcase do you typically travel with?
The normal size? It's probably the biggest size that fits in the overhead compartment.
Mm.
Have you guys ever seen one of those like old timey sexist cartoons where a woman comes back from shopping and the butler gets out of the car like 30 boxes and like a hat box?
I've seen that. Yeah.
That's kind of what it's like. No,
it's going to be a cold night in the Alps.
We're actually both fairly white travelers.
Wait a minute, am I right?
We bought a lot of Parmesan cheese, though.
So you could use that as wheels on your Twizy.
Yeah.
Or toilet paper. My daughter asked if we could buy a wheel of cheese, and I said, no, we don't have room for a wheel of cheese. I think she just likes the idea of like just going in there with like a paring knife and just cutting off like a pound of cheese at a time.
Was this a dad answer, or do you actually not have room for a wheel of cheese in your home? You have a house.
Are you talking like a? Oh my god! You talking about like a lavash, or you talking like a full on cheese wheel, like a legitimate Italian cheese wheel?
Oh, I see.
It's
what
like
you're,
Alex.
Okay.
It's like the size of one of those rolls of toilet paper that they have in convention centers.
Exactly, it's the size of like a Twizy wheel at least.
I don't know if it.
I feel like that's a very manageable birthday gift that you could give to your daughter.
You know what?
Yeah, what is that, like $400 or $500?
$400 or $500 for a wheel of cheese, and I'll buy her a dorm fridge. She can put it in her little room.
A wheel of cheese.
And then like a switchblade so she can carve off what she...
The Italians call it a stiletto. Here's your stiletto for your cheese wheel. Put it in your dorm fridge. Domini.
Now, Merlin, we got to get into your lit, like, because I am like a notoriously,
what?
The other like hot
what?
Tip and trick I have is it's not, I just make sure wherever I go, I know where the nearest Walgreens is and where the nearest Supercuts or similar haircut place is. But okay,
there's two things to understand about my list before you start taking pot shots. Okay. No, for the love, are you looking at it in the task paper compliant app? Can you collapse?
No,
are you able to collapse?
I'm looking at it in text edit.
Okay. All of these sections are collapsible and hideable.
No, I'm here. What's a What's a task paper compliant app? What is that?
Look in the Google Doc.
Mm.
The key to mine is that almost everything I could conceivably need is in here. I might do half of the things that are in here, but this is everything that I might need to think about, and it's very well organized mostly into sections. And the big sections are like there's basically like the before leaving, packing, and after returning. And also on location, which is not super important. But the idea is that there's a bunch of stuff I need to do before I leave. There's the packing that I need to do. And then there's stuff I'll need to do when I come back. And then I refine it each time I come back, and I improve this list each time.
Why does it say next time, bulldog clamps, gallon Ziplocs, quart Ziplocs?
Yeah.
Are you going to dismember a corpse?
Yeah, this is a great murder list.
Wait, are you going to break down a duck?
Why did you go with duck of all the animals?
A duck is a duck is hard to break down.
Oh, okay.
It's not like a swan. part of the key to the system is that you don't realize what you didn't have until you're in the situation where you didn't have it. So when do you write down what it is that should be different next time? When it occurs to you in the room, you go, fuck, I should have brought bulldog clamps because they're great for many things.
What is that?
Max, have you ever been in a hotel room where the curtains are okay good, but it's hard to get them to close all the way, and it lets light into the room?
No, I've never had that situation before. No, that's every hotel. That's obviously every hotel room.
Two bulldog clamps, done.
Mm.
Veronica's, like, waving her sleeping mask around as if to indicate what is wrong with this person, that he travels with his own special clamps instead of the sleeping mask that I hold right here in my hand.
I got a hat for that. Is that what that means?
That's
the Italians love to use their hands.
Why? Yeah. So are you not a sleeping mask person, Merlin? Are you like, you can't?
No,
have
I wear a hat like a gentleman.
Face?
I wear a hat to bed every night,
oh,
like a gentleman.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing with the Ziploc. Here's what you need to do with the Ziploc bags. You start. When you travel, I don't care where you fucking go. Shut your whore mouth. You start with a large 2-gallon Ziploc bag. Inside the large 2-gallon Ziploc bag, you know what you got? Number one, two more 2-gallon Ziploc bags rolled up. You take four 1-gallon.
So rolling up inside of your bag of bags, you've got 2-gallon Ziploc bags, 1-gallon Ziploc bags, quart Ziploc bags, a handful of perhaps five. I'm so angry right now. Five or so paper towels. Because you're going to need bags.
Why?
Okay, wait. Max made fun of me for like running around the house and grabbing random objects and sticking them in a bag.
Oh, no more rocks. We might need these rocks.
Oh, my God. You're going to spend the night sleeping on the can by the cheese wheel.
Holy shit. No. You need bags. You're going to need bags. You're always going to need paper towels. You have those. And then guess what? You roll that entire thing. God damn it.
I'm going down your list, and it says to bring a roll of gaffer's tape.
Max, have you ever stayed in a hotel room where there are annoying sources of light beyond the curtains that won't close?
Oh my God!
Wait, you're telling me you're bringing a series of clamps and clips and a fucking roll of gaffer tape? Like it's some sort of...
You've never been disrupted by the light coming through the peephole? You've never been disrupted by peephole light? Peephole light. You put a towel under the crack in the door, peephole light, you cover the peephole light, and yes, you snap you off some gaffer's tape, you put that over every motherfucking LED in the entire room until it's black like night.
Oh my
Basically,
God.
Basically everything on this list is to make the room dark.
can you imagine being the person that cleans Merlin's hotel room when he checks out, and there's just fucking clamps hanging off of everything,
and the discarded organs of a duck.
When I was at Dub Dub, I had like this big, this huge crisis where one of my jeans ripped, and I was like, oh God, I need to throw them away in this hotel garbage can, I guess, and I felt horrible. You are destroyed. You're just defiling this room.
Do you know what it costs to get a hotel room? I'm going to ruin that place.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
Okay.
We don't have time to go through all of
well,
these.
Well, I have a question. You have a stationary section. Is that typically one that you visit? Like, why? Why?
I don't go to Target and I have a child.
I
have a child, Alex.
Why do you have bubble bath on your list?
Because it's nice to take a bath. You get it in one of those little rubbery... You people are animals. And I don't bring it every time. This is the complete list. I don't have to do everything on here. I can take any of these off that I want. There's nothing under that I have to do. These are all things that I can choose to do. The thing is, the list is complete. I never have to worry about whether it's on the list. And I can just take off what I want. I can cross off what I want. I can not do any of it at all. I don't have to bring bubble bath. I don't have to go anywhere. No one can make me go anywhere. I don't even have to leave my house if I don't want to. And if I do want to leave my house, I'm going to have a way to make it nice and dark. I'm going to close everything up and I'm going to bring a fucking duck.
Calm down.
Godfrey Daniel.
Oh, cool. All right.
The show's over. The show's over. You got to throw out the old leftovers. The day leaving one is very important because that is when the anxiety is reaching its peak.
Mm.
And that's where I go through and I do all of my rituals.
Wait a minute. Further down it says, pack snacks for me, : big Avengers cup for ice water.
Yep. Have you ever had a satisfying drink of water out of one of those tiny little disgusting glasses? No, you bring the large Avengers cup, and then you go and you fill that up, and you can have a nice, nice big water. And you can...
Avengers cup.
And then it says premium nuts to eat.
To eat.
Why does it specify that they're to eat?
I just, as opposed to the ones I shove in my ass for pleasure.
Okay, then it says, then further down the list, it goes on to say, I'm location, buy seltzer. I mean, that's just common sense. I'm surprised you don't travel with it, but okay.
Wine
or similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then one that I'm very curious about, marketing and water cleanup.
You know what it is. You know what that is.
I do not know what that is.
You walk into the room. If it has drawers, you open the lower drawer or you open something with a door on it. You pick up every piece of marketing material and every $8 bottle of water and you put it in that drawer. I don't want to see a single piece of printed material in the entire room. Plastic plants, they're going in the closet. They're going in the closet. They're going in with the fucking ironing board and the complimentary umbrella. Fuck that. Fuck that. Turn it all off. Oh, did you know that we have a spa? Yeah, I do. In the drawer. Into the cauldron, handsome. So this is, then I come home, I turn off my Hue routines, I plug in charge devices, refill pill sub bags, because I got sub bags, I got a bag and I got sub bags. I got a bag with several bags in it. Inside my green bag, I have a bag, and inside that bag are all those tiny pill bags. Do you have tiny pill bags?
I have, I have containers, because otherwise my tiny pills get crushed.
I have two, I travel with two pills. I have ibuprofen and Claritin D, and even then I only need like a couple.
That's adorable. You don't have any Imodium. You have no Imodium at all.
No, if I get diarrhea, I'll go get Imodium.
Yeah, you pick up a cheese wheel, like a gentleman.
Well, and part of the traveling anxiety for me is if I'm gone for more than a week, which I often am, I need to like pick up all of the pills that help my brain work. And the most expensive thing at Dob Dob was taking a lift for 30 minutes out into the suburb to go to a Walgreens.
I once spent an hour in Manhattan trying to buy two ibuprofens. It was completely disorienting.
Well,
okay, I'll take a picture of my bag, my bag and my pill bag bag.
Ibuprofen's a little different than Lamictal. It's a little bit easier to find.
You got to be careful with that stuff. Fuck.
I was in Seattle with Ben, and we were having like a pretty tense, I don't remember what we were meeting about. We had a pretty tense meeting with Amazon that was like one of those meetings of like, this will set the future of our livelihoods. This was a couple years ago. And we were fighting over, I don't know, some Amazon bullshit. Their fee increases or... some sort of dumb exclusivity they wanted or like counterfeits or I don't know what the thing was, but there's all these things where we've had to like enter into these complicated negotiations with Amazon. So this was one of those. And we were meeting, we'd escalated the issue for many months over like email and calls. And we had gotten this meeting where we were with like some sort of like vice president of Amazon, of like the toys and games department at Amazon. So like important people where you could tell when you walked into the room, everyone else was like scared of this guy. Right. So they were like, big important people in Amazon. And this was the same meeting where the Fire Phone had just come out, and we were like sitting in the meeting waiting for this vice president. And they were like, 16 identical Amazon men in like V-neck Johnny Ive t-shirts, like all sitting lining the table. And I made some and everyone was out and they had their iPhones. We were too awkward to like make conversation. Everyone had their iPhones out, and I looked around and I was like, "So, Jones got the Fire Phone, huh?" And then it was just all looked up, and they got really uncomfortable. They did not have a sense of humor about it at all. So, as we're coming through to this, walking through Amazon to this meeting, I think we had been out drinking the night before or something, and Ben had, he had sort of an upset stomach from the drinking. He was like a little bit hungover. And we're walking around with this guy who was like, he wasn't the most important guy at Amazon, but he was like an Amazon executive that we were like, had like set this meeting up for us. And he's giving us his little, when you go through an office and I don't know if you've ever had this experience, they're trying to like take their balls out and like show you how big, how cool they are. They like take you on this like long winding serpentine tour of the office. And they're like, here's all the resources we have that we could like crush you. It's like when you go to ancient Rome and you see the Colosseum. It's like, mm-hmm. We built this to show how Rome could destroy your village and in a moment. It demonstrates the power. So we're walking through this huge Amazon building, and everything is all like glass and whiteboards, and it was very impressive. And Ben's just looking really uncomfortable. And eventually he sort of stops the guy and like taps him on the shoulder and goes, "Excuse me, do you have any diarrhea medicine?"
What a power move. That's such a fucking power move. What a way to disrupt that. Oh my god. Excuse me. I imagine him tugging on his sleeve. "Excuse me, mister. I have to drop a deuce."
Ben was like the alpha for the rest of that meeting. Like, everybody respected him.
I could call it the gorilla mindset. Yeah. "Excuse me, mister. I gotta make a wet number two. I gotta drop a florid deuce. I have to blast a moisture bomb. Excuse me, mister. I have to back tinkle. Excuse me. Can I borrow your whiteboard, if you know what I mean? Excuse me, mister. I just had to land Apollo. Excuse mister.